relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country.
Hang on a second. Relax. I hope you're seated. I agree with Joe Biden. There is a lot that is not normal in this country today. Starting with the commander-in-chief standing in red light, flanked by the military, calling half of the nation a clear and present threat. That is how authoritarian regimes justify their existence. I am Sebastian Gorka. Welcome to One on One with a man who's seen it all before, and on this show, actually, made a shocking statement that today is no longer shocking. He's the director of investigations and research at that den of swamp monster fighters. It is Judicial Watch, and he's Chris Farrell. Chris, thank you for coming in studio.
Great to be with you, Seb. Thanks.
So I can't even remember if it was a year ago or 2 years ago, but whenever you come back on the show, I have to bring it up because it's rare that on live radio, a guest of mine shocks me. and you did. And we were talking about, I think we were talking about maybe a specific case to do with President Trump, but I think your answer came out of what you'd gleaned from the activities of the Bureau on the border.
Right.
And I asked you, so what do we do with a corrupt federal Bureau of Investigations? And you said you actually said, send in the marshals and dismantle it and distribute its missions across other agencies. And
right.
I was like, who is this crazy extremist in my studio? And then I sat there and I pondered and then I realized. And now I wish it would happen yesterday after recent, you know, the Hauk arrest in front of the seven children.
Yep.
This was long before Mar-a-Lago. So let's start with that. And if I can jump straight in, we'll talk about what that speech in front of Independence Hall means for
right.
America. But I want to tackle what you said in the studio previously. The FBI exists for a specific reason. It has missions that other agencies, for the time being, like the counterintelligence mission that you execute, don't cover. It has special mandates with bank robbery, with interstate crime, with kidnapping. It has the counterintelligence, then it has the counterterrorism mandate. So let's talk brass tacks.
Sure.
We're in D.C. You've worked in the U.S. Army as a counterintelligence officer. What do we do with the FBI? Give me the Farrell game plan for 2025, January the 21st.
So the first thing is an investigative division is created within the U.S. Marshals Service. That investigative division would take on all the responsibilities, the criminal activities, the criminal investigative activities.
The crim. So the FBI does, you know, criminal investigations,
correct,
then counterintelligence and counterterrorism, but the criminal stuff goes to the marshals.
Or goes to the marshals. Agents are vetted for lateral transfer into this
from
new
the Bureau.
And other agencies as
okay.
well, but yes, because you're trying to stand up a new entity, and frankly, the more fresh or different blood you get in, the better. And so there are other 1810s, that's the government shorthand for a law enforcement agent, who want to come in, they're scrupulously vetted, and then transferred in if they're not one of these political operators that we've been seeing in the FBI.
Now, let me just stop there for
sure.
A second. We don't see, apart from the odd TV show, we don't have a lot of knowledge of the marshals. We know that they hunt down fugitives.
Right.
But comparatively, in comparison to the 35,000 people at the FBI, this is a small agency.
It is.
Are we asking too much of the marshals?
No. And they're our oldest federal law enforcement agency.
Yes.
Relatively scandal-free. They've had their problems here and there. Nobody's perfect. But certainly not anything like the FBI. And so they have the structure, they have the traditions, they have the history, they have the legal standing. A U.S. Marshal can go basically anywhere in pursuit of crime. So there's an existing body and structure, which if you broke out a new section, this investigative division, and lateral people in, there'd be a consistency and an ability to kind of a continuity of operations that would be wouldn't be a difficult lift.
So things like bank robbery, kidnapping, that moves over to the marshals.
Right. And remember, you know, the kidnapping involvement of the FBI is really only an outcome of the Lindbergh baby kidnapping. It was a political move then.
Right.
In fact, General Schwarzkopf's father was the head of the New Jersey State Police at that point. So people think of General Schwarzkopf from the first Gulf War.
Yeah.
His dad was the commander of the New Jersey State Police when the Lindbergh kidnapping happened. And it was very resentful that the feds came in and pulled the case from him because the New Jersey State Police thought that they were perfectly capable of investigating it. And that whole thing was bungled. But nonetheless, that's the FBI's in on kidnapping. The counterintelligence function.
So they're finding the spies in U.S. soil. What happens to that? Because that's your forte.
That's a huge issue or question, too, because counterintelligence is broken. It's at the point of almost non-existence. So rigorous counterespionage investigations are pathetic.
Yeah.
Counterintelligence operations, offensive counterintelligence, which in sort of layman's terms would be double agent operations, right? We run a guy against an intelligence service and let them think they're controlling him. Well, actually, we're running the show. It's a false recruitment.
Let me just say here, and tell me if you think I'm wrong. I don't think CI, I don't think intelligence operations per se, is the job of a law enforcement officer. It's a very different kind of mission.
It is, and that's why the Army splits its mission. And so within the Army, you have the military police and their criminal investigations division, which does law enforcement as you would traditionally think of it. But then national security crimes are broken out, and that's a function of Army intelligence.
And an MP would not be trying to catch spies.
Right. And so they're both sworn law enforcement officers with guns and badges, but they have very different approach to things. So one's kind of the traditional cops and robbers criminal thing, and then the military intelligence arm of the Army does all the national security crimes, and they look at it two different ways. There's a straight-up enforcement of counterespionage investigations, find the bad guys and arrest them.
Yep.
But then there's also an intelligence operations side of it, which seeks to do things that are really intelligence operations.
Like disinformation.
Disinformation, influence operations, double agent operations, psychological warfare. There's all sorts of other things that get involved in that intelligence function that's not straight up law enforcement.
It's not,
a portion of it is law enforcement, but it doesn't have to be.
So could we envisage the DOD taking over the FBI's counterintelligence mission?
Well, you know, for a time after 9/11, there was something called CIFA, the counterintelligence field activity. And that was run out of the Pentagon, and they got themselves kind of cross-threaded and were sort of quickly disbanded. But there are grounds to say, look, I think the Army in particular has had a very robust counterintelligence effort, even to this day, even though it's a shadow of what it once was. But there is a history, an ability, a documented track record of activity. And so a new counterintelligence agency or effort could be launched.
But you're coming from Judicial Watch saying we need another agency. I thought you guys don't like more bloat.
Well, we don't, but what we don't like is established corruption. And right now, we've got,
more than enough.
A federal law enforcement agency that brands itself as the premier investigative agency in the world and they're, you know, at least at the headquarters element, they're utterly corrupt. And so we can't have that continue anymore. And if it means splitting out the functions so it's cleaner and less corrupt, well, fine.
All right. Well, we are just scratching the surface of what we do with a corrupt FBI. In the meantime, we have the hottest item on our website today. I was told it's a little bit too much, Dr. G. It's a little bit too edgy, even by stalwart members of our staff. But there's a reason that I came up with it over a month ago, because I knew what was coming. Joe Biden's Gestapo, the FBI, the T-shirt, the mug, from Nazi Germany to the USA in 80 years. It saddens me. That's where we are. But we have to stand up for the truth and tell the world what we think. Get yours today. Lots of great new merchandise, including the America First Dr. G Stay Frosty Challenge coins, patches, and of course, we've got all the Let's Go Brandon gear, the Ultra Maga. Go to SebGorkaStore.com, and nothing, nary a one, is made in China. They're all made in America. Go to SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorka, SebGorkaStore.com. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory-compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan. And I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest-capacity micro-compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, the class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
All right, so we're kind of halfway through. We've got the Krim that will be handled by the U.S. Marshals, bringing over 1811s from the Bureau that have been vetted, or new law enforcement officers. We've got a potentially a new counterintelligence agency that is not rife with corruption that will do the spy catching and the other CI operations. What happens to counterterrorism? So let me preface that question. Where do you stand with two issues? Number one, we had a FBI agent of 33 years on the show, a retired agent, say that the reason we have what we have in the FBI now, the corruption, is because of that meeting at Camp David after 9/11, when Bush, President Bush, told the then director of the FBI, from now on, you're not cops investigating crimes, you're an intelligence agency preventing the next 9/11. So it went from being feds who are cops to being an intelligence agency, which was a mission that was squeezed onto them. Too much started to be run out of D.C., the Washington field office, etc. And he said that laid the groundwork for all of this. So your reaction to that analysis, that 9/11 and that Bush-driven change is part of why we are where we are today. And then secondly, I've never asked you this question. The post-9/11 changes with DHS and the Office of the National Director of Intelligence, are you a fan? Can we get rid of them? So how does all of that fit into a plan for reform of the Bureau and the IC writ large, Chris?
Yeah, so Homeland Security should not have been even constructed in the first place. It was another knee-jerk reaction. The first secretary, Tom Ridge, is famously quoted as saying, "No, we don't need anything like this," right? And then he goes on to become the secretary. It's a monstrosity, and certain things really need to be just unwound and undone. The ODNI is another incredible layering waste of bureaucratic nonsense.
It's basically a layer on top that doesn't do anything.
It does nothing but complicate things and spend more money.
And more paper.
So, so there needs to be sort of a de-evolution of a lot of these efforts. Desperate people do desperate things, and that's... That was sort of the knee-jerk reaction to 9/11.
What about this comment from the agent that turning the Bureau into an intelligence preventative arm laid a lot of the bad foundation?
Exactly. It's exactly true. It's also giving them the counterterrorism mission is also, you know, and I'm thinking about not just the analytical investigative side, but the kinetic proactive side. they're just, it's too much of everything on top of everything. And when you're dealing with a counterterrorism mission, it is best left, I believe, to the military and not to guys. It becomes a mishmash that's gotten out of control.
And then when it's happening CONUS, when it's happening on continental U.S., who should be investigating terrorism leads in America? Like if there's a new AQ building up cells, if the Bureau's demonstrated it's too corrupt and untrustworthy and using the Patriot Act against parents at school board meetings, who should be doing CT?
Well, that counterintelligence agency that I spoke of, that would really fall under their responsibilities in the Farrell view of how things should be reorganized. And it can be done very well. There's some very sharp, very good, very competent people out there. I've gotten old enough now that people that used to work for me many years ago are now in positions of authority. I know the stuff that they're made of, and they want to do the right thing, and they want to protect America, and they want to protect civil rights. Right? You've seen whistleblowers come out. There's been a string, almost I guess, 24 now, who've come forward and said the FBI is completely out of control, and they've been working with members of Congress trying to straighten things out. I'm glad to see that because, frankly, for a long time, a lot of guys were more interested in their retirement pay than in actually doing the right thing.
So this is the next question I wanted to ask you. You know, of course, it's hard to role play it or what have you, but I would hope if I were, a special agent with a few years in, if I were given the warrant to, you know, bust down the door of a pro-life activist who shoved somebody because he was screaming at his 12-year-old son outside of an abortion clinic, or if I were the agent who was told to put Peter Navarro in leg shackles for a misdemeanor at Reagan Airport, I would say, sorry, Mr. ASAC, sorry, whoever you are, here's my badge and here's my gun. Why do you think that out of the 34,000, it's 24 who said, you know, yeah, I'd like a pension, but it's not that important? You'd think of all the agencies that had prestige, there'd be people with more backbone. Do you have any theory as to why there seems to be just such an inertia to do the right thing?
Well, human beings are capable of infinite rationalization. Mm. And so that's problem number one. Right. And so it turns out to, well, that's not me. That's not my situation. I'm doing this and I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to try to fight this the way I would do it. And so there's a lot of sort of self-convincing talk there. The other part of it is, frankly, hey, I got a mortgage, I got two car payments, and I have two kids headed to college. And it's just math. Yeah. And they say, look, I need an income. I understand all this wonderful God and country and the flag stuff, but I can't go reinvent myself because I'm, pick a number, I'm 50 years old, and I've been in for 17 years, and I just got to hit 20. So as long as I hit 20 and I can retire and then I can go get my consulting job, I mean, that is the level of narrow, it's careerism and sometimes it's opportunism, but that's the calculation that people are making. And that's very grim, but that is what happens. I've sat and talked to federal law enforcement officers who have told me stuff that would make your hair stand on end. And I say, what are you going to do about it? Oh, no. I'm not a. So I thought you raised your right hand. What are you going to do about it? Hey, look, in 18 months, I can retire. I'm not going to get involved. I don't, you know, it's not my problem. It's bigger than me, and I'm not going to throw myself in front of a speeding truck. That's the answer you get back. And on more than one occasion, I can assure you, on dozens of occasions, they're not willing to bite the bullet.
Well, 24 men did. And one of them was on our show this week, Kyle Serafin, who put his name and his face to his activity as a whistleblower. We need many, many more. We talked to Chris Farrell. I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. For those who have given so very, very much for this nation in uniform, I have a special big ask to you. We have the figure, the shocking figure of 22 servicemen and women taking their life every single day. We need to do something about that. We need to minimize it. We need to get it to as close as zero as possible. One organization has that as its mission. It's founded by combat veterans like Chad Robichaud. It's called Mighty Oaks. And they have a series of ranches across America where active duty and veteran retired military can go with their families to battle those demons and hopefully defeat them and never, ever consider taking their own lives. It costs $2,500 per veteran to go to one of these ranches for a bit of respite, a bit of tranquility. They pay nothing. Their travel is covered, but we need your help. Will you support the Mighty Oaks Foundation in their truly, truly blessed work? Go to my website, make a tax-deductible donation. It's sebgorka.com, and at the top it says Restore Our Warriors. You'll see a photograph of me and Chad, and that's the easiest way to make a donation. You're doing, well, you're giving back to those who stood on the wall for us. That's Seb Gorka, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Restore Our Warriors tab at the top. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, my buddy, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. The Percal bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now for you, just $39.98 with your listener promo. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percal sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. It's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-829-8468, promo code Gorka, or just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and plug in G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com, code Gorka. All right, so we are 40-odd days, less than, from a midterm election. Right now, Chris, it looks as if there will be a turnaround. There will be a win for the Republicans. They'll take the House, maybe the Senate as well. The House will have control of committees, will have subpoena power. It would be nice if once, when they were in the majority, the Republicans acted as if they are in the majority and not in the minority. Matt Gaetz was on our show a few months ago, and he said his dream is to turn every committee of the House into an investigatory committee that actually does oversight, that subpoenas people. My request, my modest request is, you know, beyond Hunter Biden and the other things that need to be investigated, is to impeach Mayorkas. I think, you know, one of the most mendacious evil individuals in this cabinet is the Secretary of Homeland Security. Who knows what's he knows the suffering he's created by opening the borders. What would be on your list of, when it comes to your specialty, national security, counterintelligence, What kind of things could a serious Congress start to do in November, or should do?
Yeah, it's really overwhelming.
Because the size.
It is. And I can hop and skip from topics. So we talked briefly about Mayorkas and the border and fentanyl and cartels. And I mean, it could go on and on. But, you know, I mentioned counterintelligence before. It's as a discipline.
We just don't do it properly anymore.
Not at all.
Why? Let's start there. Why does America, the most powerful intelligence conglomerate in the world, not do counterintelligence properly?
There's a few different reasons. One is it's not very sexy. And there's not a lot of publicity around it.
Right.
And if you do it right, no one knows.
No one knows. But during the Cold War, we did it well.
We did it well. And no one knew. And that's a beautiful thing. And we won.
Right.
In part because we did do it well. Right. And nobody knows a lot of the stuff, and that's fine.
It's good.
But I love Navy SEALs. They're wonderful people. But, you know, they have great press, and they put out movies, and they believe their own press releases and all that kind of good stuff. But if you're really busy doing your job and you're doing it effectively, you know, it doesn't happen.
Right.
No one goes to work every day now looking to defeat China.
Yes.
Who in the United States government, what's their portfolio? They get up every morning and go into work, and the number one job is to defeat China, one way or the other. I don't necessarily mean an all-out battle, but I mean, who goes to roll back China?
Who even thinks in terms of we are at war with China?
Correct, right? So there's big strategic questions, let alone let's have Hunter Biden discuss his laptop, right? That's sort of, it's base.
That's one target.
But, I mean, there's large systemic problems we have. What are we doing? How about our, we were energy independent for a little while. What do we, I mean, there's, we've gone from a vibrant economy with energy independence to
secure border.
Yeah, and 180 degrees in the opposite direction in 2 years.
All right, so it's tough to have, as you said, I mean, you know, the SEALs have good promo capabilities, but it's tough to have a sexy committee investigation on why American government employees don't go to their job in the morning thinking, how am I going to defeat China? That's kind of an esoteric grand strategy kind of thing.
Right.
You'd have to have, you know, Ed Luttwak and Victor Davis Hanson in front of the committee. Let's eat the elephant by taking small nibbles.
Sure.
What would be a demonstrable act of seriousness? In terms of, I mean, look, you guys fight corruption. That's
absolutely
your raison d'etre.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of the kinds of things you're fighting at Judicial Watch, what would you like to see be the first act of a serious Congress?
The slow motion, incremental coup that took place against President Trump has got to be unwound. And so
Operation Crossfire, Hurricane Brennan, Comey, Clapper,
right.
I mean, all the way back.
Right. I mean, if that persists, if that is the established, finished narrative, and that's the history, and that's okay, that has got to be undone.
All right.
I'll jump in.
Yeah.
Mark Milley.
Oh, okay. You wrote a piece on that. We'll discuss
Milley
that.
Milley needs to be held to.
All right. I want to get some concrete things on the record, because this could be used as a little bit of a menu for Congress in November. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else and failed to find relief, do yourself a favor. Do what 500,000 Americans, myself included, have done. Don't just listen to me. Listen to people like Yvonne from California. This is Yvonne's story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Just those words, pain-free, should be reason enough for you to order the 3-week quick starter pack right now at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. What have you got to lose except the pain? Call 800-500-8384 or go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. All right, so we're back at the challenge we had just a few moments ago. It's such a huge flipping topic. Where do we begin? Where do we begin with unraveling what they did to President Trump and his administration, the fact that I was told by a former CIA station chief that they had an NSA team of four contractors who were actually surveilling the Trump White House after the election. So, you know, it went on not just during the campaign. So let's do it this way. What are the big questions that have to be asked by a serious Congress when it comes to Russia collusion, Crossfire Hurricane, and so forth? Give me a couple of big questions, Chris.
So the apparatus that put into motion the coup attempt against the president, number one. Number two, I would go after.
By apparatus, I mean the names and the modalities that we used to subvert him.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. I mean, and we know parts of it. We have snapshots of parts of it, but it needs to be an actual postmortem done, and that's excruciating, and it doesn't make headlines, and it requires everyone to pay attention. Very difficult.
Yeah,
and it can't be reduced to a 5-second soundbite from a committee chair. What I'd love to see is that the committees that are formed, that the members, the actual House members, shut up. I want investigative counsels to do lines of questioning. I want them to chime in as appropriate. But when they're all grandstanding for 5 minutes at a piece, nothing ever gets accomplished. You need to run an entire string of questions.
You need professionals.
Watergate style.
Watergate style.
That's one part of it. I need January 6th unraveled for me. Not the kangaroo committee idiocy that we see going on with Benny Thompson and Cheney and all that. But I need a real explanation for that. I need to know about the car bomb supposedly at the DNC. I need to have an understanding of who Ray Epps is and what he did or didn't do. There's all these sort of unanswered questions. I'm not forgiving or apologizing for the violence that was done, not for a second. There were criminal acts done. I'm not whitewashing that. But there's more to it, much like the phony FBI kidnapping plot of Gretchen Whitmer out in Michigan.
Yes.
That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. The FBI is extraordinarily good. I mean, they're good at doing things like setting in motion these kidnap plots of Gretchen Whitmer.
You mean instigating?
Yeah. I mean, they did it before in 2009. There's something, a group called the Hutteries in Michigan, where they did the exact same thing. Like 20 FBI guys recruited 10 morons and set them up and then said, oh, look, we found bad guys.
But aren't they too busy hunting all those white supremacists they keep telling us about?
Exactly.
I'm confused. Like, why do they have to invent stuff?
Like they have nothing else to do. I mean, see, that is the problem. When you have that kind of mentality and you put these programs into operation and everyone says, yes, sir, snaps to attention and runs out the room to go do it, that's the problem with the FBI. You could spend half your time taking apart the FBI.
Right.
So, I mean...
All right, we've got some big questions to ask.
Yeah.
Let's turn to the piece you sent me most recently. They're outside of Biden and Lisa Monaco, you know, the two people who can get me most angry on a daily basis are, of course, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, and the other one is Mark Milley, fat, fake general who is obsessed with his whiteness and white rage and who likes to telephone his equivalent in the Chinese Communist Army and tell them, don't worry, if President Trump does anything crazy, I'll give you a heads up. So talk to us about what you'd like to have done in a serious oversight fashion with regards to the current chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
Yeah, so the Army has an affirmative obligation to police itself, and especially with regard to official misconduct by senior officers. And so the chief of staff of the Army, or another general court-martial convening authority in Washington, D.C., the Washington Military District, really needs to impanel an Article 32 hearing, which is the military equivalent of a grand jury, and present evidence about what Milley's done. I believe there's grounds to court-martial him.
Based upon his own admission in interviews.
Correct. And he's cooperating with journalists who write books and giving them copies of transcripts of things. He's giving them transcripts of his conversations that in federal court he's fighting Judicial Watch to not provide.
Wow.
So there's your accountability for you.
Wow.
The other thing Milley did, and I'm not sure if he has a direct hand in this or not, but there's recently been another open letter. Whenever you hear open letter in Washington, look over your shoulder, right?
Yeah.
An open letter of, I think it's 8 former secretaries of defense and 5 former chairmen of the Joint Chiefs. And they're saying, we're in a very unusual civil-military operating environment now. And it's an interesting letter because it's sort of like a civics lesson. There's a general discussion about the relationship between the military and civilians and the military subordinate. So a lot of it's kind of mom, dad, apple pie, non-controversial, 101 civics kind of thing. Something you give a first-year ROTC cadet or a West Point cadet. But then they have all these enumerated points, and in a few of them, it's really quite contradictory what they're saying. There's this hint that, well, you know, we have these people that are causing trouble in the country, and they're a threat to the Constitution. Realize this open letter came out 5 days after Biden's speech in Philadelphia. And they talk about how, you know, there may be unusual circumstances that come up in the next, you know, between now and the next general election. It's a creepy letter, right? So you'll remember there was supposedly an open letter to the Justice Department that resulted in them going after parents as terrorists.
Which had been actually written in collusion with
the White House. Before that, during the election, you had these 51 intelligence experts come out and tell you in an open letter, oh, Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation.
Right.
Turns out it was worse than they ever thought it was, right? So we've been lied to by intelligence experts about Hunter Biden's laptop. We've been lied to about education experts, about the relationship of parents threatening school board members, and the FBI needs to go after them because they're terrorists, right? Another open letter advocacy thing. And now we have an open letter from these defense officials warning us about the civil-military relationship and what really needs to happen. This is creepy stuff.
It is.
It's signaling and telegraphing.
It's preparation of the battlefield.
It is exactly what it is. And so no one's going to pay attention to it until somebody points out and says, oh, we talked about this months ago. Why aren't you prepared for this? Didn't you know? All of our leading experts said so.
Yeah.
You know, take caution. Caveat emptor. There's a problem here.
And it's a very, very, very dark signal. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the president. We're talking to the director of investigations and research at Judicial Watch, an organization that deserves your support, judicialwatch.org, broadcasting to you from the relieffactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that's liberating 500,000 people right now, me included. I had a low back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor 2 weeks later. I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 3.5 years later. That should be you. That could be you. But there's only one way to find out, but it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. You deserve to know. Don't wait any longer. Do it today. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. And if you enjoy this show, please support those who make it possible. Great patriots, friends of the president like Mike Lindell. You heard what the feds did to him. He came on the show right after 3 unmarked vehicles ambushed him, demanded his cell phone. Why? Because he's a conservative, because he's a truth teller. Let's show the left they can't cancel this man. Please go to his website. Use my name. You'll get up to 66% off. He's got some amazing BOGO offers. And you'll get a good night's sleep as well. Please call 800-829-8468. Check out his over 150 amazing products or just go to MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the secret code G-O-R-K-A. That's MyPillow, 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com, code Gorka. Last question, and you've not seen any of these because we don't give them to our guests. We don't rehearse them. What's it like to be Chris Farrell after you've worn the uniform of the U.S. Army, you've taken the oath, you've served this nation, you've worked with the FBI on, I don't know, hundreds of occasions? What's it like to live in America now and see these things like Mar-a-Lago, like the Hawk raid? How do you deal with that as somebody who you know, wore the cloth of the Republic?
Yeah. It's I'm being generous or kind when I say that it's creepy, you know. I'm never disheartened, though. You know, I have hope, capital H hope.
Okay.
And I know, as a good friend of mine, an elderly Anglican priest turned to me one day. We were discussing all these troubles we face. He goes, let me cut to the end. God wins.
Right.
And so I know.
We've already won.
Yeah. I know that we are victorious. And so I have full faith and confidence in that. And but along the way, there's challenges and fights and things.
And is, because this is what Judicial Watch does every day, but in the final analysis, we talk of centers of gravity and culminating effects and all that other jargon. Can we drain the swamp, Chris Farrell?
We can.
We can?
In fact, we have an obligation to.
Correct.
It's beyond just, you know, wishful thinking and intention. We have an affirmative obligation to do so, and not doing so really would be our negligence, right? It would be it would hang on us. It would be a dark stain against our honor and integrity to not do something. So we have to.
And your message after 2020, what you've called the coup d'etat, what is your message to those? We've got 3 million listeners. What do you say to those who say, that's it, I've given up, they've stolen the Republic? What do you say to them?
They're wrong. They're 100% wrong. In fact, the burden and obligation has doubled, perhaps, you know, 50-fold. But we have a duty and an obligation to fight our absolute hardest, to be involved and active and motivated to support the Constitution, to defend the Constitution, to stand up for the Constitution, not let them take it away.
Yeah.
They're not they drape themselves in this phony baloney, you know, righteousness. Look, I've taken an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. There's no expiration date on it, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, there's a lawful, constitutional way to press forward and to win fair and square, and that's what we're going to do.
Perfectly put. It's not just possible to drain the swamp. We must drain the swamp. It is our duty. If you enjoy our one-on-ones as much as we love providing them to you, please subscribe right now. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Never, ever miss an episode. Do write us a 5-star review. It helps with those dastardly algorithms. And share the truth. Share the clips. Because it is our duty to save the Republic. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Greetings, welcome, dear friends. Yes, you are listening to America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump and member to this current day because Biden's too much of a coward to get rid of me, of the National Security Education Board of the Pentagon. Crazy day yesterday, before and after the show. After the show, we had dinner with the Polish ambassador. We'll be talking about the latest updates on the bombing, the sabotage of the Russian pipeline. Before the show, I made a little bit of news. Hey, Mr. G, you like it when I make the news, right?
It's always a good thing.
It's always a good thing for Mr. G. We had lunch on Capitol Hill with that fire brand Matt Gaetz, and afterwards a little story leaked about perhaps your host being a lead counsel or special investigator for the Hunter Biden committee after the midterms. We shall see. It's up to the GOP, but the Democrats did rather look worried when I walked into the members' dining room on Capitol Hill. We'll give all of the details and so much more on the show today. 3 hours, an amazing 3 hours, but no monologue to open because we've got a far more important thing. It is great when your wife says she listened to the show. It's also superb when one of your fellow colleagues does that. And when I get texts from a certain founder of a certain organization called Turning Point saying, great show today, Seb, makes me feel all warm inside. And he's with us right now, Charlie Kirk. Welcome aboard.
I mean it, Seb. You know, after our show here, I'm driving home and just trying to get my thoughts together. And I listen on the great AM 960, really great station out in Arizona. And you do a great job. Always fast paced. I like it.
That's very, very kind. Okay, so we would love to have you on the show every week. You're so incredibly busy. If you pass on, God forbid, I want your frequent flyer miles, because this okay. is a man on a mission across the country, founder of Turning Point USA. You had had your 8th or 9th anniversary?
Yeah, a 10th actually.
10th?
Yeah, it's been our 10th anniversary. Yeah, I visited all 48 contiguous 2 times. Visit 40 of them 5 times, and then all 50 I've done as well, if you count Alaska and Hawaii. So to give you an idea, I did all 48 once, and I did it again in 18 months.
unbelievable. It is, along with my other colleague, Dennis Prager's PragerU, one of the most important organizations in America fighting to take back the Republic. I say this from the bottom of my heart. Listen, we've got 3 million listeners. If you're not supporting Turning Point USA, you're not serious about saving America. So Turning Point USA, you've got to give. It's such an important organization. However, you're on the show right now because my big bosses have said Charlie's doing something very, very special. It's called the Border Battle Series. Tell millions of listeners what you're doing now.
Yeah, and it's a great partnership with Salem. So this is actually our first interview about it, Seb, so it's really great. And it's not out yet, but it will be out at salemnow.com. And this was months of work. I kind of chimed in on that feed of all of us together, that thread of all of us together. So we live in Arizona, and we see the border casualties every day, from the drugs to the crime to the homelessness. And I said, why aren't we telling this story? The media is not telling it. And it's a deeper story than just, oh, look at all these people coming across the border. That's powerful imagery. There's so much behind this, though, Seb, from how the cartels work in conjunction with local authorities that are bought off and paid for, how local farmers are bought off by the cartels, how the fentanyl really is the kind of cash cow that keeps this going because it's so lethal and there's such a high demand for fentanyl now in suburban America across the country, which is really sad and tragic and awful, and we're seeing it in the death count. So we put all these pieces together. When we were first storyboarding this, we said, what is the story we want to tell? And the story we wanted to tell is how the southern border impacts every American, every community, and every state is a border state. So we embedded ourselves with Border Patrol, with Sheriff Mark Lamb. We got firsthand footage that nobody else has got. We have whistleblowers coming out saying how they have been told not to enforce the border over the last 18 months. Just shocking stuff, right? It's a multi-part series. We're going to do it exclusively with Salem at salemnow.com. Our amazing Turning Point USA team is doing so much stuff. But honestly, I was looking around and I said, I don't think anyone's telling the story. And so we said, hey, we raised a little money for it. We put a lot of resources behind it. It's high quality. It's beautiful in the sense as it's not going to put you to sleep. It's not just someone talking the whole time. It's front lines. And so for all your listeners that already have memberships at salemnow.com, that will drop, I think, on October 7th. But this is a good preview of it to get people ready for it.
So we had Sheriff Lamb in studio just a few days ago, and we had exactly the same idea. We grabbed a camera about a year ago. We went down to the border at his invitation. We just spent a day there, and it was horrific. I mean, wherever we went, we got out of the patrol car, and there was detritus, there was spore, there was signs of mass human trafficking everywhere. Tell our listeners what shocked you the most when you went down to Pinal County.
Yeah, I mean, I've been all over the border from Yuma to Pinal County to Nogales. What shocked me the most is how easy it could be solved and how unwilling we are to currently solve it. That's been the big shock. And so I've done multiple visits to the border. I did it under the prior administration as well, under the Trump administration, and it was bad, no doubt. It was not where it should be. This was back in 18, right? But it's so much worse now. In fact, I made that now viral video. It's been seen like 60 million times where I went to one crossing and you could just go across if you choose, right? Like you could go with a backpack on your back. You can go right to the southern Mexican border and do this. And now it's a complete and total, it's even worse. In fact, what's so bad about it, it's as if our authorities want it to happen.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to, educate as many people. This is a project of education. People think they know what's happening on the southern border. It's more than just wages. It's more than labor. I believe it's a deliberate, calculated invasion from the people who hate us most to just get drugs, crime, guns, and a lot of different criminals that are now embedded in our country that, unfortunately, it's like a ticking time bomb, right? So they've basically have these little time bombs that are going to detonate over the next couple of years and decades of criminals that should not be in our country that, unfortunately, Americans will die. They'll get raped. They'll get robbed. Because we allowed our southern border to be wide open.
All right. It's called Border Battle. It's a series of films. You've got to see it at salemnow.com. It's going to be launched imminently. This is the first interview. God willing, I will be working with Charlie on another film project about manhood. We have one of your faith ambassadors on our show tomorrow, the great Pastor John Amanchukwu, to talk about the war on manhood.
He's great.
Love Pastor John. I know you're going to be having an event soon, so that's all to come. But now it's the the border battle. Last question for you. Give a little bit of, look, you are indefatigable. You're one of the smartest guys I know. You're on a mission. What do you say to those listening right now who see what's happened to their children in school, in college, come home, brainwashed, indoctrinated? Why should the listeners of this show, the parents, the grandparents, not give up on the greatest nation on God's earth, Charlie?
Well, we have no choice, right? And so, look, we're up against huge odds, but we're already seeing the trend, I think, go in the right direction. And we're seeing it already in the last 5 years. The amount of young people identify as liberal is down 10 points. 10 points.
Wow.
And that's liberal worldview. And I'll send you the study after this. Now, the amount of people that identify as conservative, up 1 point. But hey, that's minus 10 for them, up one. This is not even political. This is worldview. And a worldview is the filter of which you process all information daily. Do you believe in the natural law? Do you believe that human beings should be restrained when it comes to power? You know, a worldview is a very important way to be able to understand whether or not someone is going to align with you when it really matters most. But look, I think there's so much more fight left in the American people. I think we're massively underestimating them at times. And I think the forces of darkness are soon going to be scattered into confusion, whether it be the intelligence agencies that are lying to us here domestically, or whether it be our financial institutions. I think the virus of wokeism opens up an opportunity for us to be able to challenge them in considerable ways. But the final thing I'll say is this, is we have truth on our side, not lies. We know that. And if you have truth without courage, then that truth will just die as a whisper in the corner. So we need to pair that truth with courage. And that's why courage is the ultimate virtue. That courage is spreading very quickly right now. I really do.
It is the virtue that makes all other virtues possible. Read this man's work. The latest is The College Scam. Before that, it was The MAGA Doctrine. You can follow him, Charlie Kirk 11, also TPUSA. You've got to go to TPUSA.com. You've got to support them.org. You've got to donate to them. God bless you, Charlie. And it is the border battle. If you like the show, also, please subscribe right now on Spotify. We'll be back with my take on what happened to that Russian pipeline. Stay with us here on America First.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.